Amen.
I think if he'd have kept going, he'd have gotten my text. Certainly thankful for the song service, the selection of hymns, the prayer touched on several things this morning that's on our heart, and Brother Kenneth's introduction is just right in line with what's on our heart. So I'm thankful that the Lord's blessing this morning with such harmony of thought. And I pray that the Lord will bless us to receive this word and let it sink down deep in our ears and find a lodging place in our hearts so we can carry it with us, so it'll be a blessing to us in the days ahead. And that's my prayer, is that the things that are preached here in this place, as my prayer as a pastor, is that you treasure up something that you can carry with you in the next week. You know, we spend so little time here, but we spend an awful lot of time out there in the world. And we need to be equipped. And I hope that you have more good things that you're exposed to than just Sunday morning. You know, reading the Word of God, praying, asking for the leadership of the Spirit. You know, we need that every day, don't we? You know, if we can start our day with arming our mind with the right attitude and the right reasons for trusting the Lord and holding on to Him, then we'll face our difficulties with a much better frame of mind. So, as Brother Kenneth was saying, as he began, is there enough evidence to convict us? What would cause us to have the desire to be different from the world? You know, if we're looking for evidence, then obviously there's a person that's following the Word of God, that's doing the things that are pleasing unto the Lord. What would cause that person to want to do that, to be different? Well, obviously having the Spirit of God in us, right? But there's something else that I'm driving at. There's something else that will cause us to want to do those things, to want to read His Word, to want to walk in a way that we would be in fellowship with Him. And that thing that's different, or that subject that we're driving at, is loving God. If you love somebody, you want to please them, don't you? If you love somebody, you want to spend some time with them, don't you? If you love somebody, then you want to do that which is pleasing to them, and that which would encourage that fellowship and that time together and that closeness. Well, what has God done that would cause us to feel that way? I heard several good answers. I mean, if we would just stop and consider what He already has done, then the only appropriate response that we should have is to do whatever we can to please Him out of thanksgiving and gratitude. Sometimes I feel like a broken record saying that, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's the absolute truth. That we, gratitude and thanksgiving, as we continue to do those things which He has taught us in His Word, we show our thanksgiving and our love for Him. So my text this morning is a very familiar verse, but we want to go beyond what he just speaks about in that verse in John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Jesus has been speaking about the proper kind of asking. You know, when we pray, we need to ask appropriately, don't we? When we pray, we need to be asking what's pleasing to the Lord. You know, John would later tell us that we know this is the confidence we have in Him, that whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us. So if we're not praying according to his will, you know, if we're praying for selfish things, if we're praying for things that we just want and not what's according to his will, then we're not going to get that answer. So we need to be asking appropriately. But then from that subject, and that's a good subject, and he dealt with that on a number of occasions, but from that subject he went on to not only proper asking and proper praying, but proper doing. Doing what's right. We've had a lot to say about that lately in different passages that we've preached on. But John 14, verse 15, if ye love me, you can finish that, can't you? You know that verse. We know that verse very well, don't we? Why would Jesus put an if in there? He knew who loved him. He knew who he loved. Now, we know that there's folks in the world that would say, well, God loved everybody. Well, that's not what the word says. But he's talking to us. He knows. He knows who are his, right? That foundation is sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And that admonition, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's sure as well. So in this context then, as he has been talking about proper asking, then he goes into proper doing. He says, if you love me. If. You know, if I would ask you to raise your hand, and if you want to, go right ahead. But how many of you love the Lord? Yeah. Some didn't raise their hand, but I got a nod. No. All right, we love the Lord. And why wouldn't you? I mean, if he's touched and tendered your heart, like Brother Kenneth has said, if he's blessed us to know him, and if he's blessed us to know all that he's done for us, why on earth wouldn't we love him? I mean, when it came time for him to fulfill his purpose in saving us from our sins, Jesus had to endure tremendous suffering. And it didn't start on that day that he was nailed. I mean, he didn't start on that at that hour that he was nailed to the cross. If you love me, how is it then? As Brother Kenneth was speaking this morning, I kept thinking about that's a great lead into how is it that we're going to choose to be different? We don't like to be different. We don't like to stand out as being different. We want to blend in. But if we're going to honor the Lord like we should, there are going to be times when we don't need to blend in. We need to be different. If you love me, Jesus said. In other words, here's a condition. And there's a wonderful promise that follows this verse. And if we follow what he's saying in this verse, that promise will be ours. Don't you want the promises that God's given us that will be a blessing to us in this life? Yes. So when he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then what is the promise then? If we keep his commandments, you know, he put that condition up there, if you love me, and then he says, to show that love, we need to keep his commandments. We'll get into more of that in a minute. But then here's the promise. Here's the promise that he has given us if we'll follow that simple statement that he just made. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he says this, here's the promise. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now notice, we're in John 14. He's about to go to the cross. And after that, he's going to go to the tomb. And after that, he's going to ascend back into heaven. So there's not much time left upon this earth that Jesus is going to have with his disciples. And so when he leaves, they're going to need something else. I mean, don't you know it was a comfort to be in the presence of Jesus? to see him just resist every disease, to see him even raise the dead, to see him restore sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, being the ability to speak to the dumb, all of the things that he, don't you know you could feel confident and secure in his presence? Well, don't we need that now? I mean, he's not going to come in bodily form, at least that hasn't been his habit for 2,000 years, but he has promised us that he will come to us in the person of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, all right? And don't we need that? Don't we need his presence being felt in our lives? Every day as I pray, and I pray for each one in this each member and each member's family and the friends that visit us from time to time, as we pray. One of the things that we ask for on a regular basis is for all of God's people that we're praying for, that they would feel the presence of God in their life. Because if we can feel he's with us, that's empowering, isn't it? That's comforting. That helps us, because there are so many things in this world to discourage us. There's so many things in this world that would cast us down. There's so many things in this world that we realize that we cannot do. But bless your hearts, if we can feel the presence of the Lord with us, then somehow we can feel like it's all going to be okay if he's just with us. That's all we need. Whatever he chooses for our lot, whatever we have to face, it'll be okay if the Lord is with us. But isn't it an awful time when you don't feel his presence? So that's the promise. Is that if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, here's the promise. I'll be with you. I'll pray to the Father. He'll give you another comforter. It won't be like you've known, he's talking to his disciples here, and it won't be like they've known it while he was there with them, but it'll be another comforter. And by the way, I've got a note there that the translators put in there that what that means when he says another comforter is another of the same kind. Not something different, but the same comfort that they've known all along, being in his presence and seeing the manifestation of his power and seeing the compassion that he shared and seeing all of those things and being with him, they could continue to feel that same comfort. Isn't that what we need in this life? We need the Lord with us. Wednesday night, we talked from Philippians chapter 4, and we taught the lesson about the things that Paul told us that we're to think on these things. You know, whatsoever's pure, whatsoever's lovely, and whatsoever's, you know, all that list of things that he has there. And he talked about how that if we would think on these things, and then Paul would go on to say, you know, and those things which thou hast learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Same principle, isn't it? Spoken in different ways. John 14, the Lord's teaching us. And from Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul's teaching us, but it's the same principle. If we are drawing nigh to the Lord, using language from the book of James, if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. And so when we think about his commandment, when he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. For the Lord will bless us for the remaining time. I want to go through some things that will help us. You know, we ask the question, what would cause us to want to be different in this world? What would cause us to be willing to suffer the persecution, willing to be different, willing to go against public opinion if necessary, be willing to do that to enjoy fellowship with Christ? We need to know that, don't we? And a lot of what we have to say is things that we've preached in different ways before. But the point is, if ye love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. John would later, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, John would later say, and this is the love of God. Let me turn to that, because it's similar to other passages. I want to get it right. 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. So, what is it then that fuels that desire? What is it then that causes us to want to be different? First of all, he says, if you love me. In other words, if nothing else, it causes us to pause and consider our love for him. Our love for him. And is there enough evidence? Is there enough evidence to show our love? How is it that our love is shown? Is it not in faithfulness? Is it not in the things that we do and how we go about doing those things that will show our love to the Lord? Faithfulness. Okay? So, when we think about this, faith, faithfulness. Faithfulness is an absolute requirement. And we know that from Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, he says, it's impossible to please him. All right? But he gives us that faith. But what we do with that faith varies greatly. But notice, as we continue looking here, remember in Galatians 5 and 6? By the way, Galatians 5, we're going to talk about verse 6, but later on in Galatians 5, you're going to find he's going to identify works of the flesh. Then he's going to go from that into fruit of the Spirit. All right? So when we think about then, and he's also going to have an admonition of walking in the Spirit. All right? So, Galatians 5 and 6. Paul is having to deal with the idea of circumcision, that there were some that were holding on to circumcision instead of realizing that that was fulfilled in Christ. And so he says, neither for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. All right? Now, as we've said before, that word worketh means the energy of it. So the energy of faith has got to be love. So we come back to the same principle of loving God. If you love me, if there's a great love, if there's a strong love for God, then bless your hearts, that faith is going to be energized. God gave it to us. It varies greatly as far as how we use it. But the energy of it and the level of energy of our faith is going to come from the level of love that we have for our God. He puts that love in us. But the more we think about how much he's done for us, the more thankful we are for what he continues to do for us, the more we remember his goodness and his mercy and his safekeeping of us and all the things that he does for us every day, the more we remember that, the more our faith is going to be energized and we'll be willing to stand up and be different for him. Because he is the one who needs the glory. He is the one who is to receive that glory from our lives. All right, so faith which worketh by love. Without much love, there's not going to be much energy to our faith. And so, when you get down to Galatians 5:22, when he starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit, where does he start? What's the first one in the list? Love. Really? Do you think there's a reason for that? Yes. Because that love for God, as He gives us His love, we love Him because He first loved us, all right? And as we reflect that love back to Him, and bless your hearts, that's the first of the fruit of the Spirit. And everything else after that is an outgrowth of our love for God. Think about that. How long suffering will you be with someone if you don't love them? Okay, how patient will you be with someone if you don't love them? You see how all of the fruit of the Spirit is an outgrowth of the very beginning of love. All right? We've talked about that a number of times. Now let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Do you remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's seven things that Peter tells us to add to our faith. Remember that? It's interesting that he begins by saying, add to your faith. In other words, if you don't have faith, there's no way you're ever going to get to these. All right? But he says, add to your faith. And the very first one is virtue. And that virtue means the courage. Well, let's just put it in terms of what we're talking about here. The courage to stand up and be different because you love God. Virtue. When we think about, later in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, just ahead of where he says we love him because he first loved us, just ahead of that he said, perfect love casteth out fear. I think I've used this illustration before, but I like it because it really speaks to the heart of the matter. You know, let's say we're near a river, and that water's running. And Brother Jeff, I'll use you and Adeline for this. Adeline is playing around near the edge of that water. All right? And Brother Jeff can't swim. I know he can't. He probably can, but in this story, he can't swim. And Adeline falls in the river. And she certainly can't swim. And he can't either. But you know what he's likely to do? He's likely to go in after Adeline. Why? Because he loves her. That perfect love casts out fear. The more we're focused on loving God because of the tremendous love that he has for us, the more we're focused on that, the more fear is cast out, and the more willing we are to be different and to do what he says so that we can show our love for him. Faithfulness comes and is energized by the love that we have for the Lord. And if there's not much love there, there's not going to be much faithfulness. And so when he says, add to your faith, 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness what? Charity. Did I get them all seven? All right. Notice what happens there. When he started with his faith, and when we realize that faithfulness is energized by love, Peter started with faith, and what does he end up with? Love. Charity, which charity is love in action. You know, you can have a love for something and not say anything or do anything about it. Somebody might have a secret love for someone else. But if you have a love that's spoken of like the Bible speaks of as charity, that love is going to be expressed. That love is going to bring forth actions that prove how genuine and how strong it is. That's what God did for us. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. He didn't just send a prophet to tell us. He didn't just write a book to tell us. He gave. And oh, what he gave. Oh, what he gave. He gave the best he has. He gave his only begotten son. And he didn't just send him down here so that he could tell us. He sent him into this world to save us from our sins. And in order to save us from our sins, he had to suffer tremendously, didn't he? So, love brings forth all these other fruit that was spoken of in Galatians chapter 5. And when we add to our faith, because there's love there, and it's energized so that we're adding to our faith, then what it ends up being is more and more love. Because from beginning to end, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so when we're keeping his commandments out of love for him and a desire to please him and casting out the fear of being different, bless your hearts, we find ourselves doing that which is pleasing unto him and loving him so much that those other things don't matter. Now, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, over in Galatians 5, where he's been speaking about that fruit of the Spirit, listen to how that continues. We normally just stop, or at least in much of the preaching I've done, we normally just stop right there. All right? Fruit of the Spirit. It starts with love. Everything else is an outgrowth of the love. Okay? And then he says in verse 24, I'm Galatians 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We still sin, don't we? We still come short. But bless your hearts, when Jesus suffered, when he was crucified, he put away our sin. And he did it perfectly. And we are just before God because of what Jesus did for us. And that's why when we realize that we come short, we have to plead the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our sins. See, it's not a matter of him being crucified over and over and over. It's a matter of us trusting him and purging our conscience when we know we've come short. That's why we're taught to repent. You know, the message of the kingdom is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the message to the disciple each day is to repent. You know, consider ourselves and realize that there's things that we may have done that where we come short. And so we need to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, John tells us that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because Jesus put those things away. And when we realize that he did that for us, that we were represented in him when he did that, and when we cast our confidence upon that, that's how we crucify this flesh. And realize that we come short, but Jesus didn't come short. He satisfied the just demands of God's law. And when we plead his blood for the cleansing of our sins, it purges our conscience when we realize that we come short. So he says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, there's the doing again. If we're blessed with the Spirit, then let's walk in the Spirit. All right? So, when Peter, then, going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, when he started out with adding to your faith, it ends up in love. When we're adding these things to our faith, because our faith is energized with the love of God, all right, we result with more love for God because we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more you learn about him and the more you know about him, the more you love him. The more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you'll be willing to be different in this world. The more you'll be willing to stand up for what's right and to do what's right. And so he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see how it all hinges on love? the love that we have for him. And we need to be reminded. We need to do that. All right? All right. When you continue in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he goes through those seven things that we're to add, he ends up with charity. He says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of him." And he talks about if he that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off. See, but if these things be in us, these seven things, if we're diligently adding these things to us, he eventually would say down in verse 11, For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for a disciple who's trying to keep the commandments of God, for one who, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and for one who's trying to keep those commandments and trying to do what's right, bless your hearts, to be able to feel like he's in the kingdom of God. In other words, you feel his presence. You feel his power. You feel his help of you as you're going through life. Listen, that's being in the kingdom. Because if you don't feel that, you feel like you're outside of it. You may feel like you're outside looking in. But if you can feel his presence, the presence of the king, by the way, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, right? Romans 14, 17. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So righteousness, following in those ways, keeping his commandments, right? And peace, feeling at peace with God because we're trying to do what's pleasing in his sight. And joy in the Holy Ghost. And all three of those are fruit of the Spirit. All right? So as we think about then, if these things be in you and abound, if we've added these things, that our love is growing and our faith is strong and its faith is energized because of the love that we have for God, an abundant entrance is ministered unto us into the everlasting kingdom. He's not talking about just heaven. He's talking about a heaven right now while we walk here in this life, feeling the presence of our King, walking in a way that's pleasing in his sight, and enjoying fellowship with him and willing to be different from this world. That's what we need. We need that Spirit with us each day. So to be a Christian. So if someone sees our life, they can. There is evidence. There's abundance of reasons for them to see that we love God because we are keeping his commandments. Now, that's what God would have us to do. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. And if we do that, the promise is he'd be with us. And that kingdom will be ministered unto us. And we'll feel his presence. So let me ask you, in view of all of that then, where would the Lord be pleased for us to show forth that love? Obviously, we want to show it to him. Okay? But that's part of letting your light shine, right? Where would he want us to let that light shine? Where would he want us to show forth our love? Where would he want that faithfulness to shine forth to the glory of God? Where would he want that? In the church? Absolutely. If we can't feel his presence among us while we're gathered together, we're missing the mark. But if it's only at church and not out in the world, what's that called? It's got to be a two-faced, isn't it? Or another word might be hypocrite. So not just in the church, Jesus didn't say, let your light so shine before the church. He said, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so it needs to extend beyond the church. But getting back, it does need to be in the church. It does need to be manifest greatly in the church. You know, one of the commentators, Warren Wiersbe, I think is his name, said one time that the light that shines the brightest at home shines the farthest. We want the light to go out from this place. We want the light to be shining forth from us wherever we go, so that others can see the good works and glorify our Father in heaven, right? That's what we need. So not only in the church, yes, it needs definitely, absolutely it needs to be in the church, but it also needs to go with us into this life wherever we go and show forth that light. But let me give you another thought. Another thought of where this needs to show is in our homes. You know, we say so much about the condition of this nation. There's so much about, you know, we pray for our leaders that they would do what's right. But you know where all that has to start? In the home. You know, we complain about the kind of music that may be played. But until some hearts are changed and some better music is written, they're going to keep recording. Of course, that other stuff's always going to be there. But, you know, maybe some hearts need to be changed to where better songs are written. We might complain about the movies that are being made, but maybe we need to be praying that hearts would be changed, that better movies would be made, better scripts would be written. You see, that's where the heart has to be, a changed heart has to be doing those things in order for it to be shown forth in the world. So when we're praying that this nation might be different, we need to consider that these things need to be cherished in our homes. Certainly needs to be in our heart first, and it needs to be in our church, but it also needs to be in our home. That's where it needs to be, isn't it? So that love would be there. So that love would energize faith. So that faith can be added to, because an energized faith will be doing these other things. The more we need to realize, if you love me, keep my commandments. The energy to do it, the desire to be different, all of these things come from the love that we have for God. So Brother Kenneth's question is very valid this morning, isn't it? If we were accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict us? If we realize that he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, then how much of our time this week has spent in thinking about the Lord, thinking about his mercy, thinking about his goodness, thinking about his commandments, examining our walk, to see, are we in the faith or not? You see, when you love somebody, you want to spend some time with them. When you love somebody, you want to do what's pleasing with them. If we love the Lord, we need to spend some time with him. Aren't you thankful he took time for you? What if he hadn't taken time for you? What if he hadn't set his mind upon you before the foundation of the world? What if he hadn't sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins? What if Jesus hadn't loved us enough to be willing to go to the cross and suffer what he had to suffer to save us from our sins? You see, it took actions. It took more than just words. It took more than just feelings. It took actions for that love to be shown to us. May God help us to do what we need to do to show forth his praises, to show forth our love for him, to make it evident that we are trying to keep his commandments. I know that we're doing that to some degree, but we can always be encouraged to do it more, so that light would shine brighter, so that our faith would be stronger, because it's energized more with the love that we have for our Lord. We can never match his love, but that is a mark that we can strive for, isn't it? That's a mark that we should press toward for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments and remember the promise. Remember the promise. I'll come to you. I'll pray to the Father. He shall give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's what we need every day in our life, to feel his presence. If we can feel his presence, we'll feel his love, and we'll have more of a desire to please him. May God bless you, is our prayer.